Resurrection Sunday, a dead man came out of tomb. Our Savior said he was going to come back to life, and he came back to life. That's why we do what we do. And we wouldn't have anything to do if Jesus would have been a liar. But he didn't lie. He proved it. Historically, there's facts that say Jesus rose from the dead. The gospel is for it. We have resurrection power within us. That way we celebrate. Some of y'all need to look at me like you're looking at the just somebody happy, amen. So you kind of give me dirty looks, amen. But I'm going to be, I'll just have to preach beyond you today, amen. Like somebody messed you up last night. Maybe the time change did something to you, amen. Okay, here we go. We're going to talk about miracles. Christ did miracles 2,000 years ago. He healed people. He healed blind men. He raised a dead man named Lazarus to life. He walked on water. He fed 5,000 people. Can I go on? There are so many miracles that Jesus did. It says in the end of the book of John, the one that was closest to him, he said there are too many just that we can record. Give me all the miracles. I wish John would have put them down. He says, but we couldn't hold them all. That's how many miracles Jesus did. Can you imagine how many books that would take that Christ did? You ain't seen nothing yet. That's, in other words, John is saying, right? The beloved, right? So that same Jesus still walks into the room today, walks in with us because we have his heart today, his life, and he can still do miracles. God wants to do a miracle in your life today, and you're a perfect candidate for the hand of God to be in your life today, and everyone needs a miracle. I know I need a miracle. How about you? Everyone, we're all poised for the miracle of God in our lives. In the Bible, when we put the spotlight on us, what I've noticed is God is nowhere to be exalted. And it's about us, and I did this, and I did that. I noticed the psalmist in Psalms, it always begins like, whoa, they're coming against me, or what am I going to do? But I noticed as I read the Psalms and study them, what's incredible about them is that after a while, he begins to recall. I will recall how good God has been. I will remember that God has helped me, not only helped me, but helped my forefathers. And he says writings like that. And he begins to recall and recall and recall. He begins to remember that God has brought him out. And finally, this scripture that we have here about miracles is this in Psalm 77, not in your handout, but on the big screen. Why don't we read it together out loud, not out soft? He takes his eyes off himself, and by verse 14, but back then, again, they didn't have verses. They were singing this song. He finally gets to the point of saying, no, you're much bigger than my problem, than my what I need, the lack. You're that God. You can do it because you're bigger than the problem, right? And he says this, you on three, one, two, three. You are the God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate your awesome power, right, everybody? Not only are you that right now, when Psalm was written, that Psalm, but you're still doing the power of God and demonstrating that throughout all people. Right, everybody? Amen. And so Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Right, everybody? My problem has been in my life about miracles is doubt rises. I know I'm the only person in this room that's like that. Doubt comes into my life, and I think, will you still do it for me even though you did it for that other person? Or why didn't you exactly roadmap it out like you did for them? And I wonder about that. Years ago, I got a phone call from my mom, and it seems like yesterday, and she's wailing on the other line, and I hardly hear my mom cry, you know. But when I hear my mama cry, every boy, every son has a way. Mom, why are you crying? And that can get to any, especially a son, right? Everybody that's a man in this room. And she said, I don't know what happened to Daddy. He fell and he won't wake up. And I said, Mom, have you called the ambulance? And she said, yes, they're on their way. And Northeast Baptist, right there by the house. And so she took him there. And I got right there when they were taking him out and putting him in the emergency room. I remember seeing my father lying in that emergency room gurney. And we're gathered around him. And he is trying to talk. And I see him struggling. And he can't get a word out. And I just talked to my dad yesterday. And we had a phone conversation. And everything was fine. And now he can't talk. And the attendants are saying, well, he's had a massive aneurysm and a stroke. And it's left him this way. And there's such doubt now in the room that filled that emergency room. I know I still recall that. And I wish I would have, wish I could have been that and all that thing. And you think back of regret. I wish I would have sent everybody out of that room. And I wish I would have been a man of faith and said to everybody, leave the room, the doubts. And I didn't. I did pray for my dad. I laid my hand on him, on his forehead. And when I did that and I spoke into him, he recognized my voice and he calmed down. And I began to speak life over his life. And I cast out all doubt and I asked God to heal him. 2 days later, we're getting ready for his funeral, though. He went to be home with the Lord. You know, and I laid my hand on people before and they got healed. Maybe in that condition, maybe not. About a month later, after the funeral, one of my brothers here calls and he says, my dad's in the hospital and he needs just a lot of help. And he's breaking down, crying, and I'm still grieving my dad. By the way, during that time when I was grieving my father many years ago, you were so gracious to me as a church. Those of you who remember and were part of the family here. And then y'all should have put me on Vicodin or something. I mean, I was just, you look back and you go, man, they still let me be the pastor of that church after going through all that with. And I carried you through that literally with me selfishly. In my grief, you shouldered it with me and you were so kind. You really loved me and I know it. And I love you back. Because of your goodness, and sometimes you don't see stuff until years later, and I realized almost how giving you were by letting me grieve, even during times of preaching, but I thank God for you. My brother calls, a brother in Christ, and he says, my dad needs some help, and I thought, okay, I'm going, I'll meet you there, and met him there in the emergency room, and I still see his father, the image, and his father's like this, and he can't, and they have him upright because if they lay him down, he'll suffocate. And he's breathing, and he's breathing heavily. And I lay my hand, the same hand that I laid upon my dad. And I kind of think, doubt. I go, well, my dad passed away. I hope his dad doesn't pass away. And spoke life over him. And he lived. Along because of other people praying, just not because of me, because of the Holy Spirit and everybody. I was in agreement. That man's still living today. He's like that Green Mile, that little mouse that wouldn't die, right? That guy that lived alone. He just keeps living, man. He keeps living. He keeps going through stuff, and he keeps living. And I asked God, I know you can do this, but can you do this for me? And I think miracles are that way. We think, God, are you going to just do it for him and not do it for me? If you ever have that thought, this sermon is dedicated towards you. Because every one of us in this room, this word is right for you today because you need a good word like this. It says God's word is faith-filled. There's a miracle that's in the house for your life today. The miracles still happen. And you walk into the room and Jesus is here. This word is right for you. It's called Doubting Faith, Miracle Part 1 here. The disciples in this text that we're about to read, they're in this heated debate with these religious leaders called the scribes. And there's always religious people that show up whenever there's a miracle about to happen because they want to push down the miracle. They want to move it away with doubt. But God, I'm thankful that Jesus in the flesh arrives and there's a way for it today. In Mark chapter 9, verse 16 on the big screen or in your handout, hear the word of the Lord. What are you arguing about with them? And this is Jesus. He's asking him. Jesus arrives and he comes up to this big chisme happening. And he says, a man in the crowd answers. Another voice comes out. Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by the spirit, who is possessed by a spirit and has robbed him of speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him onto the ground and he foams at the mouth and gnashes at the teeth and becomes rigid. Boy, that sounds like some of our kids, right? And I asked your disciples to drive out that spirit, but they could not. And this is very important because up to this moment, these disciples, they were batting 100. They were bringing it, man. They were casting out devils. They were healing people. The Bible says about that. But right here, something happened where they couldn't do it. And so it's a point of just saying it won't happen. It's not going to happen. And why isn't it happening? And aren't we doing well? You ever ask God, like, you start, have I secretly sinned? Or my secret sin, is that why I'm not getting my prayer answered? I wonder if the disciples were, I know none of y'all are like them, but anyway, they couldn't close out the game. Yeah, they were like the Spurs, right? They just couldn't finish the game, man, strong. They just they couldn't get done. Let me continue before you think about yesterday's loss, amen. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long will I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here. And so they brought the boy to him, and when they saw, the spirit saw Jesus, that evil spirit, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions, and he fell on the ground, rolling around, foaming at the mouth. Now again, they were all shocked, like, look what's happening to him. I think the devil knows when his time is up. The devil knows when his time is coming to an end. You walked into this room, and can I announce to you, you may be looking for your miracle, but you're poised at the very word of God, because it's being read right now, that your miracle can happen. I get a little bit passionate right now because I know someone can get their miracle if they hear the word of God. I get a little bit excited because God can show up and get your miracle to you today. The devil will, well, you don't know what it took for me to get here. You know, the devil took his strongest punch on me last night, this week. I've gone through hell, just like he did this. See, the evil that's out there, that's all around us, it sees right now what God is about to do in your life. And if you poise yourself at the miracle, deliverance will come to your life. Healing will come. Financial blessing will come to your life today. Your family curse will turn into a reverse of a blessing today. But you just got to receive it. Your season of darkness is over today, right, everybody? Let me continue. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. How often, it often throws him into the fire. Imagine him drowning and coming out of the water and being burned. There were scars on the boy, just like there's scars on us in our lives, on the inside of our life. But if you can do anything, and the dad knew that Jesus could do something, but would he do it for him? It's kind of like, would you do it for me? I know you got the money. I know you can lend me the money. Would you do it for me? I know you can do it. You can take me there, but would you do it for me? He knew it, but would you do it for me, Jesus? Take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. And like Roger said, man, all it takes is a little bit of seed, right, everybody?
Amen.
Let me finish up with the last sentence here. The last sentence is this: immediately, the father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Why don't we read that last sentence together? I do believe. Help me. 100% now. Back row especially. Come on, I'll make you come up here on the front row. Come on. Amen. I do believe. My unbelief today. Amen. I did the prep work on this, and I looked at that Greek word. And the word exclaimed is the sound of a raven. What a raven, the sound that a bird makes, a raven. And so I studied, you know, bird sounds in preparation. And here's how it would sound, the raven. Grow! Grow! Not kirk-a-doodle-doo. No. Hey, that guy's a funky chicken, you're probably saying up there, right? Yeah. And the point of I do, it's probably like this, like that point where you get to, I do believe, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. It was that agony. And we've all been there. You say, man, you look, no. See, craziness brings a miracle. Crazy faith does, it does, it's out of the order. How desperate are you for God to move in your life, in your family's life, in your children's life? You'll exclaim like a, You'll sound like a raven at times. I know I have when I needed help in my life. How about you? It may not be in front of the whole church, but we paint an ugly picture up here up front. Amen. But you can do it in your prayer closet. You can do it. And if you get that desperate, amen, in a moment, we can exclaim, God, help me right now and help me with my family. I need it today. Amen. I'm so glad nobody filmed that part right now. I snuck it out. Amen. So you wouldn't put me on Snapchat. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. In the natural, it doesn't look like it's going to work out for you. And so we get the doubt out of our lives today. I want to learn from this man. because there are points that cause doubt, and I want to learn and grow from it, because there are mistakes that he did, and I want to know the causes of doubt. What causes doubt if you're God's child, and you're God's child this morning today? Number one is this, extra notes, and the people that really love Jesus take extra notes. We believe like those around us, is one cause, and I only have a few, just two more. Your faith level will be based on really your environment, your atmosphere, your culture. In other words, if you're hanging out with blessings, you're going to be blessed. If you're hanging around with people that are cursed and are cursing all the time, you're going to curse. You show me your friends, I'll show you who you are, right? I'll show you what you're becoming today. You keep watching scary ghost movies in your house over and over, I'll show you something strong that's going to show up. What was that that moved? What turned on there? Look what you've been showing in your home. Your kids can't go to sleep alone because they're so scared of what they've been put into, and you're watching these Paranormal 18 or whatever it might be. You don't need to be that changes the atmosphere. Now you start putting blessings into your home, worship into your home. There ain't going to be none of that scary stuff going on. The thing that you see and feed the most, that's what's going to be strongest the most in your life today and in your home. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. It's contagious. Do you ever notice negative people have a problem with every solution? Amen. You get that negativity on you. All they do is they're negative. Now, I know none of you work in a perfect work environment. Neither do I, and I pastor a church. You're never going to find a perfect church. And there's going to be negativity all around you. But you can choose who you associate with closely. Amen. Especially the young people in this house. You choose your friend. I've seen so many testimonies ruined. That an up-and-coming young person has it together, they're on fire, but they hang around some negative people, and it ruins their whole testimony. Yeah. The first time that you probably smoked a joint was probably from a negative person, or got drunk because a negative person gave you something that you never got exposed to if you were raised in a Christian home. Amen. It's getting kind of quiet in this Presbyterian church, but I'm going to preach. Is that okay? Yeah, you get around blessings, and we're going to worship God through this whole situation. Give me a good amen. Not curse through it, right? Mark chapter 9, verse 19. Look at this thought with me. Jesus said, you unbelieving generation. He didn't say you unbelieving disciples that couldn't cast out the devil. He said, you unbelieving dad, you parent. No, he said a generation. And isn't that right now what this generation is? God can't do that. No, God can't arrive like that. God can't do miracles. And we need to be the generation that says this out of this room. Yes, God can. God is still a God of miracles. I'm going to announce it to the world that God still blesses us and still brings hope to every hopeless situation. Right, everybody? Amen. Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? Man, he does a how long a lot. How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me today. I remember when my children were a little younger and they were smaller, shorter than me. Rebecca's still there. Amen. Thank God. But I would anoint my kids with oil. I would bless them. I would anoint their pillowcases. I would pray the prayer of faith. Anytime I have that opportunity, I still do that. But Andrew would always say, because I would put that, cross sign on his forehead, we go smelling like myrrh and smelling like frankincense to school. And he said, Dad, give me my smack. Give me my smack today, because I'd smack him in the head. And the smack was not smack, but smack forehead, anointing oil. Anoint your children, because I can prove to you that it works. My kids aren't perfect like your kids aren't perfect. But the anointing of God, that oil is not symbolic. It's just symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Anoint your family. Anoint your home. Ask it to be a place of blessing. Right, everybody? I know that I've gotten advice when I wanted my answer from so many people. And finally, they gave me what I wanted to hear. And it wasn't always godly. Because if you go to enough people, they're going to give you advice that you want to hear. That's why I encourage you to be part of a small group at Living Faith Church. Because if you're part of a small group at Living Faith Church, they're going to tell you what you need to hear. God's word, God's truth. They're going to be just like you. They're going to be kind of weird like you at times. Kind of messed up like you, but they're going to come with a principle of look what God says, not what you want to hear. That's why every one of us needs to be part of a small group on a weekly basis at Living Faith Church. Right, everybody? Amen. Amen. Involve yourself with others. 2 Corinthians talks about this farming instrument of yoke being upon in 6:14. Why don't you read it on three with me? Are you there with me? Yeah? On three, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Common with an unbeliever. That farming tool of putting something of a yoke on an animal, being yoked with another one together. They didn't want to be together, but they were together to accomplish the job. You're together with an unbeliever. Not that you're not a friend of sinners. You're supposed to be that. That's why I want you to invite people. But you're not supposed to be in close contact where they're giving you advice 24/7, especially if it's not godly advice, not good advice, not kingdom advice. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah? And so the second cause of doubt, I believe, is this. We've tried things that didn't work. And there's this atmosphere of doubt that continues. I copied the same thing that they did, and my result wasn't like their result. Do you all understand that today? And that's exactly what happened in our passage in Mark chapter 9 on the big screen, verse 17. It says, a man in a crowd answered. He says again, I brought my son who was possessed. Everybody reading the word? Yeah. Yeah, yes, 100%, yeah. Who possessed by the devil has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him on the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at the teeth, and becomes rigid. And I asked his disciples to drive it out, but they could not. Why didn't it work for them? And they were frustrated. We tried to do the things, and they didn't work, and frustration had set in. And that really brings us to the point of being lukewarm. The disciples tried it, and it didn't work. I read the same book. And they got different results, and I didn't get the result. They look all happy, and I'm not. Is there some sort of magic formula? And there really isn't. Well, she shakes when she prays. She shakes when she prays, and you go through HEB with a shopping cart shaking. And that's their deal. They're shaking because that's, and you don't need to copy that because that's what happens to them. God has his move in you, amen, and it's maybe a different groove. Is that okay? They speak in another language when they pray. Hey, hey, hey. Oh, no, that ain't the right song. Amen. But you can't copy what other people do because they have their Holy Spirit. You're unique with your walk. And God's going to use your personality. Aren't you glad? God's not going to make you do what... I'm glad sometimes some of the stuff I've seen in church, I'm not doing that. Right, everybody? God has this moment. All my friends in Bible college, they all had this assignment. And they all, God spoke to me. And God showed up. And I would go, man, God didn't tell me anything. God, you know, it's already come in May. We're about to graduate. What are you going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. And I got alone with God. And I said, God, you got to show up because I want to have a testimony like them. They're going to know what they're doing. And show me the burning bush like you showed Moses, Lord. And God just spoke to me, not in a thunderclap, not in a bunch of hail coming towards me. You know what he said to me? He whispered, he says, look, I did that once. I had a burning bush once. And that was Moses' story. And it doesn't, your story is going to be different, but it's going to be a masterpiece, just like it was Moses. And it's going to be a journey that's filled with love, just like it was for Moses. But you need to experience me for yourself here right now, Nava boy. Amen. And I walked up out of that prayer room and I knew God had spoken to me. And I didn't know where I was going to go, but I knew that God was with me. And that's all that mattered, right? Amen. And the same thing with you. I'm preaching 54% better than your amen, but I'll take any amen. God has a blockbuster movie that has your story on it. Amen. That everybody's going to want to see one day. I believe that over your life today. Finally, the cause of doubt, we believe, somebody say, sorta. You can say with an, good, thank you, amen. Unbelieving faith, doubting faith, there's this battlefield in our mind, and it makes us unstable, and it pulls on us. Like, can he do it? Will he do it? I'm doubting. Is it going to really happen? In Mark chapter 9, verse 24 on the big screen, immediately that father exclaimed, raving, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. Was he rebellious? No, he wasn't rebellious. Did he not believe the promises of God? That wasn't what it was about. He just thought, man, is this too good to be true? Can you help me, Lord, with this today? I don't want to deny it, but it just seems too good to be true today. And God has his best for you in mind today. I want you to believe that today. You'll become unfruitful. You'll become lukewarm If you have doubt that creeps into your life all the time, you have to battle it. You have to make your decision that it's not going to overcome it, but you're going to overcome. I faced about 2 years ago, my eyesight started just freaking out. I mean, I started seeing two, double vision. And it started happening. I thought, you know, it was this or that. And it got real serious where I would see two. I had two Irmas, two wives. Great was my reward on this earth. I had two wives now. Amen. So I was, but it was my vision that was just. And so I found out it was this disease, this autoimmune disease. And the only way that I'm contagious is when I preach. No, let me blow on you. No, I'm not. And God's healed me. And God's made me better. Yeah. But when I was at the lowest point of fighting and going through of being persistent and saying, God, help me. I remember I was coming from this Walmart. And I was seeing double. And I'd have to close one eye so I could see just one road, not two cars and three cars. And I asked my doctor that was seeing me, because he was trying to find the answer. You know how they make you come back over and over. Blood test, head scans and everything else. Didn't work, none of it. And I said, is it dangerous, doc? I didn't want to stop driving. I said, doctor, is it dangerous for me to drive? He said, nah, you're not flying a plane. I thought, but I'm seeing two of everything. So what, I mean, are you okay with it? So, you know, I kept persisting. And I was on Gilbo Road going towards my home. And I was seeing two. And I was worshiping God and asking God, crying out for my healing. And I was crying, Lord, what is going to become of me? I need to read. That's what I do. And I can't read words because they're doubled. And it was a terrible situation. And what is going to become of me? I'm not going to be able to work, support my family. I started thinking, what ifs, what if, what if, what if all this happens? I know I'm the only one thinking ever that in this room today. I fast forwarded to all this awful things that were going to happen to me. And at that moment, God just filled my car cab. And he said this, he said, you know what? You need to tell the devil, because you're a wimp right now. You need to tell the devil, you need to become a warrior, that forget you, devil, I'm still going to serve God. Even if I'm blind, I'm going to still serve God. Amen. Forget you, devil. I'm going to go on with the things that God has. And when I said that, you know what happened? My eyesight didn't come back to normal, but there was this peace that happened. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to still bless them. Even if it's gone, give me a good amen. And when you have that attitude, the devil can't take any, there's nothing that can stop you. You're indestructible, right, everybody? Amen. And so let the voices of the sons and daughters in this room say, there can still be miracles in the house. Amen. We can push back doubt. We can go through it today, amen, together? And James, the half-brother of Jesus, he had this person that was doubting probably in his congregation in James 1:6. But when you ask, he had to address it. You must believe and not what? That means you fix your mind and you stay at it. Because the one who doubts is like the wave of a sea blown and tossed by the wind. The person that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, such a person is what? You're unstable. You're on shifty sand. And you know what? This describes me at times. How about you? You're being real, real in church right now. Believe for a miracle. In the first service, there was a precious lady, and she said, Pastor, I'm embarrassed to say this in front of the whole church because it's Sunday morning, but she's here, and she said, I said, what happened? She said, remember in October how my eyesight, I was blind? I said, I got it back. I can see. And I said, you know, to God be the glory. And this is a tough thing to talk. Some of y'all love to talk in front of everybody, but some people, they don't. She's that sort of individual. Lord, send many more like that to Living Faith. Amen. She just didn't want to say it in front of everybody. And she just wanted to glory. But I grabbed her hand and I said, thank you, Jesus. You did this from October till now. She now sees normal. Amen. Because God has healed her eyesight today. I want a faith like that honors God. How about you? there's a miracle in the house. I think you can get your miracle today. Amen. Would you believe for your miracle right now? Because everyone needs a miracle right now, right now. I'm going to give you some principles right now about believing in faith that honors God so we can receive our miracle even at this word right now. Number one is this: believe when it doesn't see. Yeah, we believe when it doesn't see. Faith that honors God, and you wrap your heart around that principle, because even when you don't see, you still believe it. In Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope. I hope for it. I want it. Hope for it. And certain of what we can. I'm certain it's going to happen. I'm going to keep serving God. I'm going to keep loving God. I'm going to keep bringing it. Amen. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
From being unstable to being sure, you make up your mind that God's at work. God's working right now. Amen. You get desperate. Is anybody desperate for a miracle? Amen, you're desperate. Amen. All the single ladies, are you desperate? Amen.
Amen.
Oh, the single ladies. Oh, no, you're not. You're not too desperate. Amen. Not that sort of desperate to get married. Amen. But you get a passion and you get real with God because you're desperate for God. I want to ask you a question. Has anybody ever done anything stupid in their life? The rest of you are lying. Amen. When I was a kid, my mom would take us to this big swimming pool in Alamo Heights. I think it's still there. We lived in Alamo Heights. Get that. We lived in the hood, though, in Alamo Heights. There was this hood where we lived, and it's still there. But now there's many hoods probably in Alamo Heights. But we lived there. But we would go to the swimming pool with all the other kids from Alamo Heights, and you know, we'd pay to get in. They had the best hamburgers there. I still remember the hamburgers there at Alamo Heights swimming pool in the cafe or the grill stand or whatever it was. And I remember I would see my brother go to this. He was 6 years older than me or something like that. And he would go up to this big diving board, climb up this big ladder, climb. And then he would dive off. And, you know, it looked like it was small back then. But, you know, I was younger. And I said, one day, because we keep coming all summer, I'm going to climb up, you know, to the top. And I'm going to dive off that diving board and go into the water just like my big brother. And I'd see people come, and it just, you know, I'd be on the edge of the pool kind of just dog paddling, going back and forth. And, you know, I said, I think I can do it. So there weren't that many people that day at the pool. And so I went up the ladder, went up, man, it just seemed, and I looked down and I go, man, I'm really high up here. But I kept going all the way up. And then I went on to the edge and I looked over, and boy, did that pool look really small. It looked like that small, and I was going to have to dive into it. And I stood there for a long time, and I thought, you know, should I dive or shouldn't I? Or maybe I can turn around. But by this time, there were people behind me. And I think I took so long because then they said this: are you going to do it or not? Are you going to? And there was these kids behind me. And then somebody shouted this: he's chicken! Loud. And you know what? It was a Mexican girl that said that. And if it would have been an Anglo girl, I would have probably turned around and said, yeah, you're right, I am kind. But it was a Mexican girl. And no Mexican girl, my race, is going to tell me that I'm chicken. That wasn't going to happen. And so I made up my mind that on that day, I was going to die. I knew I was going to die when I dove off, that I was going to die. They were going to have a funeral for me. It was going to be nice, and people were going to cry that I died that day. And so I said, I'm going to die, but I'm not going to be a chicken. I'd rather die trying, right, than somebody call me a chicken. So when I dove off and I took that flying leap, I remember it sounded like, I wasn't saved back then, by the way. I wasn't a pastor. Is that okay? And so you ever get so scared that you don't make a scream noise like, ah, you know, not that sort of thing. Like somebody scares you out of the closet, like, ah, you know, like that. But you make those stupid noises like, that's what was coming out of me. And it seemed like that for a long time. And your pastor, again, I wasn't saved. I'm almost sure I said a cuss word or two. Is that okay with everybody? It came out of me. It just came out of me. I wasn't saved. Thank God I'm saved now. And I just think cuss words. I don't say them. Is that okay with everybody? In the name of Jesus, redeem me, Lord, right? And so when I finally hit the water, it was pretty cool, but I went all the way down. And then I thought I was going to die again because I started to sink. But you know what happened when I hit the bottom? I floated back up. And when I rushed to the top, I said, this is awesome! Yeah! I screamed, because I didn't die, and I lived. And that's what a leap of faith is. Just like that. It's going to feel like you're going to die, like people are going to come against you, or everything's negative, you're a chicken for doing that. But you got to go past the naysayers. You got to take the leap of faith because you believe even when you don't see. Do you understand that today? Amen. That's why Jesus spoke in another part when he healed blind man's eyes. And he said this, when he go, Matthew 9, 28, when he goes, he had gone indoors. And so atmosphere changed. And the blind men came to him. These were a group of men. And he asked, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Yes, Lord, they replied. And so Jesus is asking you for your miracle right now. He's showing up on the scene and he's telling you that great miracle that only God can do. Not that you're they can, well, if they lend me the money, then I'm going to be out of that problem. Or if I go visit him, or if I go back to this old habit, then I can get that problem resolved. Or I'm going to visit the doctor again because he's going to give me some more stage 4 cancer. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And those blind men replied, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And that's all they didn't have to say a bunch. They didn't have to know theological seminary words. They just had to say, yes, Lord. And I think for 30 seconds right now, if we can charge the air for faith, if you are saying, oh, here it goes again. Yes, here it goes again, because we need to say, yes, Lord, I need a miracle. How about you? And I don't mind looking right now when Jesus is asking me, do you believe that I'm able to still do this? I got to say, yes, Lord. So for 30 seconds right now, would we say, yes, Lord, with praise and magnify him right now? Yes. Amen. Let's have the atmosphere. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You can do that right now. Only you can do that, God. I need you, Lord, in this situation. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You have about 15 more seconds right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even though I don't see it, Lord, I know that you're going to do it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In that family situation, the healing that needs to take place. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to anoint myself right now. Yes, Lord. Lay your hand on your forehead like this. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Touch me, God, like you touched those blind men. And you healed them, and they received the word. Yes, Lord. Let the countdown begin. Amen. The second principle is this. Persist when nothing changes. That's a faith that carries on. To be continued. To be continued. You keep coming back. They left you with a cliffhanger. You're going to watch again. You're going to keep going again. You're going to keep doing it. You know that need, your need does not obligate God. It doesn't. You know what obligate? When you have faith, your need doesn't do anything. People have needs all around you. You have a need right now. I have a need. You know what will move God? My faith in God, my persistence, my bulldog tenacity to keep getting back up again. Colossians 4:2, be persistent in what? Keep alert. Because you know when you're persistent in prayer, you keep praying it through. You keep your eyes wide open. It's not that steering wheel. You keep you're driving. You're praying while you're driving. Keep it open. Keep your eyes open. You don't want to shut them right now. Keep them open. Because you know what? If you keep praying, you keep alert. Where's my answer? Where can I give thanks right now in the offering? Even though it's not there, I'm gonna keep thanking God. Yes, God, you're moving. You're answering my prayer. If you're gonna pray, don't worry. And if you're gonna worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. Right, everybody? Amen. Easier said than done, but you stay at it. Amen. Amen. Work. Amen. Let God walk over that worry of your life today. Never give up. The dad that was in this story, demon-possessed son, you know what happened with him? He prayed for years. The boy was probably a toddler. He prayed for years. The boy now is a teenager. He kept praying. He kept praying. He was persistent. He kept alert. There's Jesus. He's coming by. I can take him now. I can take him now. Jesus is here. Let's give him thanks right now. Amen. Let's magnify his name. The third principle is this. Works even when it doesn't make sense. We live in this upside down kingdom. And it's not like the kingdoms of this world. Politics as usual. All right, we got to scratch that guy's back or he gets us a favor. The kingdom of God is much more different. It's upside down. It's inside out. It's from the heart today that God looks at us. In James chapter 2, verse 22, you see that his faith and his actions are what? Working. So you got to have faith, but you got to do something. You got to brush your teeth. You got to get up. Amen. You got to keep arriving. You got to keep moving. And his faith made him completely. He is made complete by what he what? But he did. So you got to have some action, right, everybody? It works even though it doesn't make sense. My God is working out my good. Amen. God's working it out all for my good. That's why you need to get into a small group again. If you don't get into a small group, you're going to have people. It will show you how to live. It will show you your faith and then your actions because you're with people. That's why Wednesday night, man, we need to come together in the small group circle so you can have your faith in action today. God will come through. God is a God of miracles, amen, and he'll have your miracle. This thought right now, the final one is this. Faith believes God can, but trust him even when he doesn't. Faith believes God can, but trust him even when he doesn't today. Amen. I know everyone in this room needs a miracle today. And we warmed up a minute ago today. I want you to put away your stuff. Don't leave the room right now. Let's stand together. Let's believe. Let's charge. The air is charged with faith right now. Thank you, Jesus. Music team, you can come if you want. And just begin to play silently and quietly if you could. Not silently. How can you play? Play quietly. That's even better, right? Yeah. Thank God I still need Jesus, right, everybody? Amen. Would you begin to magnify the Lord with me? I want you to do this. Every miracle that I've had in my life and every miracle that I'm waiting on, I wrestle with something. I have to get it from my mind of doubt down into my heart where I confess the word, where I praise through. And he said, well, I don't know scriptures like you do. If you know the name of Jesus, that's enough. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, touch my family. That's word. He's the word. Jesus, move me out of this depression, whatever it might be. And God can do it. Your praise might look a little bit different than mine, but you can praise God. You can praise God quietly. You can praise God loudly. Crazy does work sometimes because I've noticed in the Bible that people, they got God's attention by shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. They had to shout. Yeah. I know that God has mercy on every one of us in this room because we came to the house of God. God will hear your cry. God will hear your whisper. Let's begin to cry out to the Lord right now because he's a good God. Come on, lift your hands with me just for a moment. Father, I thank you that miracles are in the house right now. Ask God for your miracle, that one thing that only God can do. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. A family crisis in that home. Make a way where there seems to be no way. I agree right now with my brother, my sister. You need healing in your life right now. God still heals right now. Thank you, Jesus. As my hands are lifted, Lord, I thank you. I praise you, Lord, for the healing in advance right now. You can do that right now. It confuses the devil. It will confuse the devil right now. He's saying, why is he thanking God out loud? Because the devil doesn't like it, and he runs from God's praise. When God comes into the light, the devil can't be there. Praise your way right now for your healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Magnify the Lord with me. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We exalt you, God. We magnify you in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. I exalt you, Lord, in this room. Jesus, take over the spotlight. Thank you, Jesus. Be glorified. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's continue to pray for Douglas Cochran, all this faith together. Come on, everybody. He's being healed, God. Thank you, God. Yeah, he's coming back into this room and magnifying you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. He's healthy. He's whole. We're believing God right now. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for everyone right now that believes even though they don't see. I pray that they would persist even if there's not a change, God. Work right now. Lord, there's work being done right now, even if it doesn't make sense, God, in the name of Jesus. All of us need a miracle. Thank you, God, for the miracle in the house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for 3 weeks of miracles right now. Thank you, Jesus. I always want to give you an opportunity as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed right now, that you would receive Christ as your Savior. You're far away from God today. You were once close to Jesus, but no longer. You have a personal relationship no more. It's more of a religion. It's more of a form. And God brought you into this place because it says all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved today. I ask you right now in this moment where no one's looking around that I would see your hand lifted. And if you'd lift your hand right now in this moment right now, I'll pray and agree. If that's you, lift your hand high and just say, that's me. I need to receive Christ as my Savior. Yes, yes, I see your hand. Yes, sir, I see your hand. About five hands. Yes, yes, you're lifting your hands today. You know why we can lift our hands? Because our Savior was nailed to a cross. And nails held him to a cross, his hands, his palms, his arms, and he couldn't lift his, but we can lift our hands, right, everybody? We can lift our hands towards Jesus because he died for us today. For the four people that lifted their hands that want to receive Christ today, the sinners that are saved by grace, along with myself right now, we pray this prayer with you. You pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your ear right now. You pray it. And say this prayer. Heavenly Father. Come on, everybody. Heavenly Father. I call upon the name of the Lord, and I shall be saved. Save my life, Lord. Redeem my life. Make me new again, God. Thank you for the hand of God upon my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the fullness of the Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit filling lives right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I pray for disciples to walk after Jesus, right after him, God, to be near, never go back. We repent of the things we used to do. We change our direction. We live a new life today. A drunk is no longer a drunk. An alcoholic is no longer an alcoholic. A drug addict is no longer a drug addict today. Thank you, Father. We're not addicted to prescription medications in this room today. There's a new way, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, we have a new beginning. A new life today with our family, God. Thank you, Lord. You're a man of God now. You're a woman of God today. Thank you, Jesus. I exalt the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord, over your life today. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Precious. One more prayer. If I could be selfish, I don't do a lot of this, but I need to because just to be obedient to what God wants right now in this house. On Good Friday of this month, the last Friday, many of you will have that day off, students along with mom and dad. We're going to outreach into Marbach Manor, the apartment complex. It's the white apartments that are white building apartments.